Welcome to Day Zero Update for July 14th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Gianna Victorio.
And yeah, it is Bastille Day.
Yep.
For the French, celebrating their independence from the UK.
Funny.
Yeah. But, funny. That's a weird part of the month. There's not really a ton of big news, but we do have a few things here. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest is that Xbox is making changes to Game Pass.
Yep.
I will tell you about that stuff and the weird place that service is in now. We got a bunch of, or a couple of remasters here. One that's probably pretty welcome and one that doesn't need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, before we get to that stuff, we'll talk about what we've been playing here. For me, I've been kind of having a low-key week here, but I did play a good bit of Euro Truck Simulator 2. Finished this event that ended right about the time we were recording that required me to get 10 deliveries done from Switzerland, from or to Switzerland, to 10 different countries. So that took a bit of time, as it often does, since that's a country that is surrounded by France, Italy, and Germany. And those are the three easy ones. But getting the others took a bit of time because they don't always offer jobs to specific places that you want. So I had a bit of time just traveling between the three cities they have in that country, Bern, Geneva, and Zurich for that. And kind of seeing if I could get jobs to places I would like to be able to go to. But ended up getting that done. So that is nice. Let's see. The other thing I did, I played some Mars vs. Logistics, which I did a stream for, kind of showing some of that off. And that is a still fun game. Got a new blueprint for a kind of neat little design that essentially is kind of a vehicle crane game kind of thing. We have a tall structure with wheels on it. That's then you have these hooks that are used to pick something up and kind of cradle it under the vehicle that I believe is supposed to be used for ore, but I've not done that job yet. But I've used it for hydrogen tanks and stuff like that. That is pretty useful for. It also has rockets on it that don't really do much. They're not that useful, at least for where I'm at, but that game's still a lot of fun. And last one, I did a stream playing some NCAA Football 14 because the new game is out tomorrow for Deluxe Edition owners, and I think it's Thursday for everybody else. And I managed to get the pre-order in for the Deluxe Edition, so I'll be able to start playing it tomorrow. Excited for that. But yeah, kind of going back to this game and kind of seeing like what it was doing. One, most of the online stuff has been removed at this point, and I found a reliable way to crash the game and kind of cause the console to freeze on the Xbox 360, which is to try to go to a game in Ultimate Team, because that mode has been disabled, and it just freaks out and just freezes the console at that point. So that's a pretty reliable way to mess it all up. But yeah, did some hopping around in different modes. I played some Road to Glory, which I have a linebacker at Oregon who our team got wrecked because they just kept, they were playing Tennessee, who wasn't ranked, but Tennessee kept going no huddle. So it's just kind of constantly going into plays without stopping anything. So you... in that mode, you don't call plays. And my player was a starter, but not high enough level, like captain or whatever, to be able to audible anything. So I could not audible out of any of the plays. So we would just be running the same play you know, four, five, six times in a row. And they just picked us apart as much as I could do in that. So that's like a thing I'm like hoping that the new game avoids. Kind of easy ways that the AI can sort of exploit its own systems. Then I jumped into some of the dynasty mode. I have one with Ohio State and one with Tulane is like a, I picked a bad team intentionally, and I'm playing as an offensive coordinator, so I just do all the offensive side of the plays. Mm. And that team is real bad. Also didn't help. I was shaking off, you know, 8-9 years of rust of not playing that game for quite a while. Mm. So I had plenty of interceptions thrown and bad plays and all that. So it's partly the team sucks. Managed to get one win out of there the couple games I played, mainly because I had a running back do pretty well, though then he got knocked out of the game with a mild concussion. But he was ready for the next week because we were in that weird period of concussions being recognized by the NCAA and the NFL. Mm. Like, this is serious. You should probably not play with a concussion, but also there's no real recovery time for it. So they're just back in the next game. Unless they somehow get a severe one, which I don't know that game has that. But yeah, that game was pretty fun to jump back into and see kind of where I left it off from where I last played. So yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. So what have you been doing, Brandon?
Still playing Trails Through Daybreak. Do you want me to just go ahead and talk about it now, or do you want to let Dan Reb go through first?
If you want to let Dan Reb talk about the rest of his stuff, and you both can go in on that game.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So I've been playing that. Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, so the main game that I've been playing has been Trails Through Daybreak. I've had it for a few weeks now. I wasn't on the show last week because I was at Anime Expo, and I actually met a few people from Falcom, mainly Toshihiro Kondo, who's the president and one of the producers on the Trails series. So that was an honor. I had him sign my copy of Trails in the Sky Special Edition for the PSP. So that was cool. And then I'm sure you guys covered it last week that at the panel, they officially announced the sequel to Trails to Daybreak. So that was pretty cool, like being there in person and being excited. I've also never seen any Trails cosplay in my life. And then at that expo, I saw a lot of Trails cosplay. So yeah, that really warms my heart. So that was pretty awesome. I'll be posting more about it on the site, but I did talk about that panel. I talked about East 10. A lot of cool content on Smashpad right now if you want to know about Anime Expo. But going back to Trails Through Daybreak, I rolled credits, finished it. The platinum is actually way more attainable than it has been in previous entries, but it does require you to beat Nightmare Mode. Which shouldn't be too bad considering the new game plus allows you to carry over your level and your quartz. So that should make everything a cakewalk. But, you know, I rolled credits at 105 hours. So that's a very long game. Granted, it could be, you know, a lot shorter if you're not doing all the side quests. But, you know, Brandon, I'm pretty sure with every Trails game, you've played through every side quest as well, right? So
yep, or at least tried to.
Yeah, exactly. Because they have this rating system that not only like allows you to get more stuff, but your ratings sort of like carry over to the next game. And yeah, that's something that I didn't want to mess up. And that's something that I've learned going back to Trails in the Sky. And yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, anyway, you know, without going into too many spoilers, you know, it's stuff that we've covered in the past. You know, the game stars Van Arkwright. He receives a request from Agnes Claudel, who goes to a high school there in Edith, which is the capital of Calvard. And the thing about Van is that he does a bunch of random jobs that serve as your typical trail side quests, but he's not a bracer. And the bracers are pretty much people who just, you know, focus on the local people and their livelihoods. And he's not a cop. So, you know, he doesn't have to worry about crime. That being said, he doesn't necessarily do bad things, and he doesn't necessarily do good things or do good or bad things. It's really just, you know, what he's interested in, you know, what he can make money on and things of that sort. So he kind of comes off as somebody who's like standoffish and doesn't really care. But then as you play through the game, it's like, you know, he does care. He's probably like one of the deepest characters in all of Trails lore, especially when we're talking about the protagonists. And like, now that I've completed the game, I would go as far as saying that he is my favorite controllable protagonist so far. You know, I'm not saying he's as cool as Olivier, but I do like him better than Estelle. I do like him better than Joshua, Kevin, Lloyd, Reen, you know, whoever it may be. I think Van is better than all of them just because, you know, one, he's actually the oldest protagonist that we've used thus far. He's 24 years old. Granted, that's not really old, But, you know, he's seen things. Throughout the game, he'll mention various things that happened in the history of the lore, especially if you've played all the Trails games, like, you know, basically everything that happened leading up to this point, even though you don't need to know any of it. And, yeah, just seeing his happy-go-way-lucky of life. And this is something that I've mentioned before. I don't know how far you are in, Brandon, but, like, one of the things that I really appreciate about this particular game is that every city or village you enter feels completely different than anything else you played in the game. And you also notice it with the cultures. And one thing that they have that's more apparent but not really, like, abrupt is, like, there's racism in this game. That really wasn't a thing in previous Trails games. But then again, like, you wouldn't really talk about anyone's, like, you know, color of their skin. It was basically if they were a noble, if they were, you know, a peasant, things like that. It was more about class and social standing. It wasn't so much about race. And now that, you know, they officially, like, abolished the class system, you know, all of a sudden focusing more on race, all of a sudden makes the characters who are, like, fighting this seem more evil. And, you know, it eventually gets to this point where, you know, when the shit hits the fan, it really hits the fan. Like, there is a point in the game where things are totally upended, which is, like, you know, not unlike the rest of the Trails series, but it really isn't even about taking over the world. It's really about, like, showing that, oh, you know, the old times were better and things like that. That's definitely something that I appreciated out of this game.
Something else about this game that's different. It's a hell of a lot bloodier than a lot of the previous games have been.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the kills are actually kills. Falcom didn't, or the localizers didn't pull any punches when it came to the game's script. I don't know if you've met Aaron yet.
I'm trying to through my head. I'm like in chapter 4 right now, so.
Okay, so you're past Longport.
Yeah, I'm past Longport. Yeah, I've met Aaron. Yeah, he's already in my party, so.
Aaron is the redheaded guy, and, like, you know, he's somebody that, like, you meet in sort of a kabuki show, and kabuki shows in Japan were, like, really all about, like, you know, I don't really want to say geisha stuff, but, like, they were, it wasn't out of the ordinary, especially in that time, to see men dance as women.
And, oh, well, if you're talking about kabuki, then it was exclusively men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, traditional kabuki does not allow women. But it was, but the thing is, it wasn't kabuki either. It was traditional Chinese folk dance. Because remember, it's that they're the Aaron and all of his group are based around Chinese culture.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's also something I appreciated. But it also just goes back to, like, how talented of a character he is. And he was probably, like, aside from Van, probably my most favorite character in the game, just because all of his one-liners were absolutely nuts. One thing that he commonly does is he always makes fun of how old Van is. And again, he's 24. He's not old, but it's everybody, whether it's Aaron, whether it's just random people you come across, they treat Van like he's some sort of geezer. Yeah. And I'm like, he does not look old at all. So I don't know what's going on here.
They also don't take, if I will say, one of the things this game does good off the bat is they don't take very long to connect this game to the past games. Because one of the, like, major characters that shows up fairly early on is Fee from Cold Steel. She's like a full-on bracer now, and she's, you know, in Calvert for one reason or another, and she just kind of shows up.
Yeah, and, like, she's pretty much the only one. I mean, you already know that Ren is there. That's not really a spoiler. It's just because he's in the beginning of the trailer. And, like, it just goes to show, you know, how mature they've all gotten. Like, you know, you're talking about Fee. Going back to Cold Steel, yeah, Fee has, like, you know, definitely grown into a very capable bracer. She is a super, she's a superstar as far as Trails lore goes. Like, one of the people in your party, Fairy, who is also a former Jaeger, like, she definitely looks up to her. And it's awesome seeing how she pretty much fangirls over everything that the Sylphie did.
So, well, it's not just that. It's also the fact that, you know, she was essentially mentored by the same woman that mentored Fee. So there's this sort of connection there.
Stuff happens there, which, you know, you already went through in the demo and, you know, the first chapter of the actual game. Yeah. So
I will. And another thing about this game, I got to say, compared to, and I talked about this a lot, like, last week, that I think one of the reasons I love the Trails series more than any other JRPG series out there is that they're not afraid to talk about a lot of like really serious issues and not like abstract it. So like you talked about like racism. Yeah, racism is actually a big part of the plot this time around because Calvard is like a first world, you know, democratic republic, which is basically unheard of in the rest of the Zamorian continent. And, you know, the closest they've got next to them is Liberal, which is like a constitutional monarchy. So, you know, Calvard is literally the only republic on the entire island. I mean, on the entire continent. So, yeah, the racism stuff is definitely, like, a big part of it. And part of the reason is because it's directly tied into the fact that, you know, that the a lot of the people who were, like, originally members of the old nobility at, before the revolution happened. So, you know, you'll run into, like, these guys who were, like, you know, who've taken on the new, their the title of the High Bloods, you know, after that particular gang was done away with in Crossbell. And yeah, it's like pretty much all of the like highly reactionary groups that you come in contact with this game are in some way connected to these you know, neo-monarchists who want to abolish the republic and bring back the old monarchy. It's like really, it's like it, for a Japanese JRPG, that's something that is almost unheard of. Yeah. Writing wise, and then it gets even further. Then one of the early side quests that you get in this game is about a guy who you find out had been blackmailed by what's the guy's name? Giacomo, the guy that
Giacomo, yeah,
yeah, Giacomo. And then you go and he's like there. He has like the, you know, the dude's dead now. You know, spoiler alert, because he dies pretty early on in the game, but. Giacomo has like this black book that he has where he keeps all of this information that he uses to blackmail people. And then you go out and you finally find the notebook and you like find out what is it about this guy that he's trying to keep hidden. And it turns out he's a closeted gay man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Van at the end of it is like, you know what, dude, just to let you know, not for nothing, but there's plenty of other dudes out there like you who are pretty open about this. You don't necessarily have to like keep stuff like this hidden all the time, which, mm-hmm. again, JRPG, kind of a big deal that they just come out and say it. Yeah. JRPGs don't typically go that far.
Yeah, and when they do, they're typically not as direct as this one. Like, you know, you mentioned, you know, the Giacomo character. Chapter 4, is that the desert? Are you in the desert? Or are you for,
No, that's Tharbad, and I've already finished that part.
Okay, so, I mean, like, I wanted to go back to, like, the culturism of this stuff. Like, you know, in the desert, you're seeing people doing desert things, and then eventually you come across the hookah.
Yep.
The orbital hookah, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, and it turns out, like, as you get through that chapter, they end up being a really important piece of evidence. I won't say what happens, but I was like, oh, okay. This was not only a joke, but it was definitely a way to like, oh, okay, maybe we should not.
Orbital hookahs, or as we know them in the real world, freaking vape pens.
Vape pens, which were actually there. So they had both the hookah and the pen, and I was like, all right, they found an interesting way to make us not use these things. So that was definitely an interesting way to go about things. And then the other thing I want to mention is you touched upon the side quests. The side quests in this game are unlike anything I've seen in any Trails game before. They are a whole lot more serious and a whole lot more than I would have expected. You know, you mentioned the one about Giacomo. You know, the first one that I came across was one that was crazy to me. And, you know, it's not even that dark themed. Like, basically, there's this kid at a convenience shop who, you know, took money out of the register.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole objective was to figure out, you know, why he did it and to make him put it back. And the reason why he did it was because he was in the way and got run over by somebody. And that person also had a camera. And the reason why he pulled out that money was to buy a camera for the person that he ruined the camera for. It turns out the person who ruined the camera actually did that on purpose in order to take advantage of the guy and get a more expensive camera. So as you know, as Arkwright Solutions, you have to tell him what to do. You either you know, put the money back and pretend nothing happened, or, you know, go ahead and fess up to the problem. You might get fired as a result, but it's the right thing to do. And I found myself, you know, not really knowing what to do because, you know, there is no right answer, and your decision will end up affecting three different stats, one being law, which, you know, you're going to be a lawful person, the other being gray, you know, you do things in the gray area, or the other one being chaos, where, you know, you don't mind seeing things go as crazy as they become. And, you know, this was just one of several side quests where you have to make a decision. And, you know, it's not like it's going to really heavily change what happens in the game. Seeing as how I had trouble, you know, just choosing between one of these things was definitely an interesting thing. Another side quest I played through was we came across this girl in the nighttime who lost her sister's earrings. Mm-hmm. And we had to go through the underground sewers to find those earrings. But the weird thing was that the monsters, she didn't care about the monsters that were under there. And they were all like high-level dangerous monsters. And, you know, we get through all of them. We finish a boss fight, follow the little girl around, and she eventually finds the earrings. And then once we get back up to the surface, we find the little girl again. And then we find out that that was not her sister. That was actually, you know, for someone else who was an adult. And she said that she lost those earrings like years and years ago and ended up giving them to her daughter. And so basically that person we helped was a ghost. So I'm like, why is Van seeing all these things? And, you know, like, you know, we're talking about things like the supernatural. We're talking about racism. We're talking about death. We're talking about, you know, just people straight up being assholes directly. And I'm like, I'm used to, you know, I'm used to rescuing cats in the tree. This is not that. And that it definitely felt more, you know, mature in that regard. And that's definitely something that I appreciate this game for. Aside from the side quests, we've talked about the battle system being a little bit of a hybrid, not exactly like, you know, choosing one or the other, but using both in a way that makes sense for you. Finally figured out like why I was having trouble with the S-crafts. The reason being was because I didn't have enough of those. What's it called, Brandon, when you press L1 to power up your attacks? I didn't have enough of those.
I forget what it's called, but I know what you're talking about. I think it's a boost.
Yeah, there you go, S-boosts. You have to have at least two S-boosts in order to use your ultimates, and I didn't realize that at the time, because traditionally in the series, all you had to do was make sure you had 100 CP or more. And that was the main thing there. So it was definitely cool going through the whole game. A lot of the characters were awesome. There was one I didn't really care for, but at the same time, like, he had an awesome backstory as well. And you know, the cool thing about all this is that, you know, we already know there's a sequel. And like, this is not really a spoiler, but one thing that I really appreciate was it didn't end in a cliffhanger. The ending felt like an ending, and I'm glad it did it the way it did. And you know, even though it was like 105 hours, it was 105 hours well spent. And I will go as far as saying, as of right now, this is my game of the year. And I have not said that about any other Trails game. And the reason being is that you can start here if you want to. It wouldn't be my wholehearted recommendation as a fan of the entire series, but if you wanted to start here, I would not blame you at all. I don't know but before I go on, I don't know if there was anything else you want to talk about, man.
No, I think you pretty much got it. When is the second? Oh, I was fixing to say, when is there? We already know. Never mind. I was going to say that, but yeah, let's go ahead.
So it's the second one is planned for the beginning of 2025. So we don't know exactly when, but that's the plan. I have heard in some circles that because we're catching up so fast, there is a legit opportunity that the one after that, the third one, the Farewell Ozymiri or whatever, or Kai is what it's being called. There is a possibility that we might catch up to a point that we're day and date with Japan. If that happens, that would be huge.
Yeah,
it will happen. I'm not saying that that it's a for sure thing, but if that happens, it would be huge for the series, because, you know, having, you know, being caught up and, you know, not being behind with the Japanese releases anymore would definitely be a big deal for, you know, just the health of the series moving forward. So, you know, after playing a 105 hour RPG like Trails to Daybreak, I needed a little bit of a little break. And that game that I'm playing right now is Spy Anya, Operation Memories. This game is a licensed game from the Spy Family anime series. For those of you unfamiliar with it, the whole concept of Spy Family is the main character is Lloyd Forger. He is a secret agent spy, and in order to, you know, solve his next mission, he has to pretty much recruit a family. And he found a daughter by the name of Anya, and it turns out that Anya has what's it called? She can read people's minds. So that's been interesting. But and he also has a wife, Yor, who is a assassin. And the cool thing is that while these three people all have like different secrets in their lives, none of them know about each other. The only one who actually knows anything is the little girl Anya, but you know, she's a little girl. Other than like knowing what people's thinking, she can't do anything. She's not particularly smart. That said, she's not stupid either. But you know, she's just there for comic relief and things like that. It's become one of my favorite wholesome animes released in recent memory. So I'm definitely enjoying that. But yeah, the game is pretty bare boned. I wouldn't recommend it unless you were a fan of the series. And even then, it's a hard recommendation just because of how slow it is. Basically, you play as Anya, and you want to just find all these memories, whether they be at the park, whether they be at your house, whether they be at school. The game flow is pretty much just, you know, you wake up, you go to school, and you look for what are called super cool things. And when you find these super cool things, you take a picture of them Pokemon Snap style. It'll rate you based on the angle, based on the action, and based on like how clear the picture is. And then after that, you go home, you eat, and then you play these mini games. And the mini games can vary. You know, one of them is you and Yor are at home and you're just chopping vegetables. Another one is pretending that you're seeing what life is like as Lloyd or Yor. Lloyd is a secret agent, of course. So one of his mini games is to go through a museum and examine all these paintings using various kinds of stealth. And it's typical stuff, you know, you're just sneaking around and then pressing a circle when you see a certain painting. And then after you do all that, you go back and, you know, complete it that way. And then you're awarded points that you can use to buy cosmetics and buy other content. And that's pretty much the loop. You lather, rinse, repeat there. So it's pretty bare-boned. I don't know how much this game is. I wouldn't recommend anybody buy it for more than $20. So if it costs more than that, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it there at all. But, you know, I'm having fun there to bring this game to play while I, you know, wait for the next game to play. Right now, we are experiencing the Concord beta. If you're on PlayStation Plus, this is the last day for the beta before it opens up to the general public, I believe. And yeah, so far I'm having fun with it. I really suck at it. But yeah, like as far as, you know, the way the story plays out for what little story there is, it's very much Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of people making fun of it because it's so similar are not wrong. It definitely feels like a game where they just didn't have the rights to use them. But you know, I'm definitely having fun. It definitely has some hints of Overwatch. Right now, the only modes I've played are completely random. One was a deathmatch, and then the other one was this card collector where whenever you kill someone, you have to collect their card. And, you know, first to 30 wins. And I've played about a game each for those modes, and I lost them both terribly. But, you know, part of it is, like, your team, too. And, you know, not only did I suck, but my team sucked, too. And then I also got involved with the Valorant beta. You know, Valorant for console was announced during Summer Game Fest. Got a code last week to try it out. And, yeah, it's a pretty nice strategic competitive game. Again, like Concord, I'm not all that great. But the main thing here is, you know, like Concord, like Overwatch, it's not really a hero shooter. It's really, you know, just making sure that you're doing the right thing. But, you know, every character has different abilities, and I've only learned one. So, yeah, I'm still working on, you know, understanding these games. But, yeah, these are all pretty fun to play, especially after just getting through the long epic. That's about it. I'm looking forward to playing NCAA, and I also do have a code for Flock that I plan on starting sometime soon.
All right. So, yeah, let's get to some news. And we'll kick it off here with some subscription news as we got the PS Plus game catalog lineup for July. That'll be going live here on Tuesday, the 16th. Yeah, they got a good bit of stuff here. For Extra and Premium, there is Remnant 2 for PS5.
Yep.
So you can check out the sequel there that I've heard good things about.
Yeah, it's the Remnant games are basically sometimes described as Dark Souls with guns, and that's a fairly accurate description, I think. And it is, they're just really good, so yeah.
Yeah. And they play around with the way that they serve you the, like, campaign.
Mm-hmm.
As you kind of don't have a linear path through everything, you're often jumping around from different places to kind of keep it fresh. And then when you jump into, you know, co-op and talk to other people as you're playing, you can realize like, oh yeah, you've done this. And I believe they even have different things in the dungeons, different puzzles and such that they can swap out for different runs. So they kind of had a good bit of replay value there for that stuff. So that's when you can check out. For PS5 and PS4, there's Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion. So that's the HD remaster of the PSP game that people liked a lot. But definitely feels like a PSP game, like it's a more compact experience than what you would typically expect out of it, especially one of the spinoffs of Final Fantasy. So there, and that follows the story of Zack, who figured into Rebirth a lot more for that. So yeah, that's one you can check out there. Also for PS5 and PS4, Mount and Blade 2, Bannerlord. That is a neat series there that was, it's a PCS series where it's a sort of action RPG kind of game, but with a lot of strategy elements as you're moving your character around on a, you know, an overworld map, that kind of thing. Has some, you know, randomness there to how things go, but the combat kind of has a little bit of Souls-ish kind of vibe to it. The way you're kind of aiming your attacks and trying to avoid attacks from, you know, opposing enemies and such, whether you're on horseback or on foot or whatever. So that's one of those neat little games. For PS5 and PS4, there's the Jackbox Party Pack 9, which I believe is the most recent one here, and has a handful of puzzle new games in it, like sequel stuff specifically. But yeah, there's a couple of good ones here I've seen. There's one that's kind of a trivia game, but you're kind of, it's based on like, you know, years that certain movies come out, and you're trying to order them in the right order, that kind of stuff. But you don't always know like what the first or the last one's going to be, so you get messed up that way. And so there's a lot of good like team and solo opportunities there for that kind of stuff. So that's that's a fun game to play with friends, family, or, you know, be able to get a bunch of the PS5 and PS4 Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. This is one of those old school style kind of computer RPGs based on Pathfinder series, which is kind of D&D, but you know, more original or unique from D&D, but heavily based on a lot of those same ideas. So
yeah, Pathfinder was like originally a variant on, I think it was Edition 3 of D&D, with some additional add-ons there that sort of became its own thing. But yeah, I've heard good things about this. I might give it a shot at some point.
Yeah, so there's that. Also for PS5 and PS4, No More Heroes 3. So that's the latest game in that series with Travis Touchdown. His thing, so you can check that one out. Then also for PS4, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes Complete Edition. This is the Switch exclusive game that they finally brought to other consoles. That isn't like the main games. It's more mini game based. Where you're doing a lot of like different kinds of mini games to fulfill whatever thing you're going for. So there's that. For PS4, there's Deadcraft. This is a zombie survival action game. So Left 4 Dead kind of thing. There, so you can check that one out. Then also for PS4, Steep, from Ubisoft, the sort of snowboarding, skiing, you know, wingsuits, paraglider stuff, a neat little sports action. It has a lot of neat stuff for recording your stunts and sharing that stuff. So yeah, that's a pretty cool little game. And that's your main lineup for premium and extra, the stuff for premium, which includes PSVR2 and some classics. For PSVR2 stuff, since they seem to be doing this regularly, it's Job Simulator, one of the best games, one of the best VR games. So it's very fun, kind of a role-playing game, I would say, where you're playing a character who's kind of going to this museum of sorts to learn about these, you know, human jobs that these robots assume happened. They try and figure out what these jobs were all about. It's a fun, silly kind of game, so there's that. Then we got a PS2 game here, Summoner, which was a launch game. I believe this was... who was it that made this? This was, Volition. They had two games at launch, I believe. Summoner and Red Faction. Summoner was the one that wasn't all that good, but you have a chance to play that now on a PS5 or PS4, so that's cool. I believe it's like a magic first-person shooter kind of game.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. That's cool. Kind of digging deep into the PS2 library for something like that, so there's that. Then we got two PSP games, Ratchet & Clank Size Matters, which I am excited about. Upon seeing this being announced, I pulled out my PlayStation TV and kind of made sure I had it on there and started playing some of it. It still holds up pretty well. Very much in the vein of the original trilogy on the PS2, though being a PSP game, the camera controls are a bit weird. As they have left and right on the camera mapped to the shoulder buttons. So I assume you'll remap that to the right stick and then have strafe and movement are separate. You can swap them between the D-pad or the left stick in the game. So, but when I was playing, it seemed just more natural to kind of just only use strafe and then use the camera controls to change where you're looking. So, but yeah, that's a pretty solid game. So I'm excited for that to have a new Ratchet and Clank. And then the last one here, Jeanne d'Arc, the level 5 strategy RPG, taking the story of Joan of Arc and making it anime as hell. So yeah, that's a fun little game. I think it's one that kind of wears itself thin a little bit the more you get into it, but at least for the first, you know, 5-10 hours, it's a very good. So yeah, there you go. That's if you like your Final Fantasy Tactics, that's one to check out. So yeah, that's your PS Plus game catalog for July with some cool stuff there.
Yeah, definitely a really strong month in general. I had a lot of these things. I just don't know if I have time. I know I'll definitely put in some time with the Jackbox Party Pack because I've always loved those, especially when hanging out with other people. I've never played No More Heroes 3 or Travis Strikes Again. I didn't even know the latter was available yet, so the fact that it's here is pretty awesome. And Jeanne d'Arc is one of the best strategy games of all time. So the fact that it's here is a...
Yeah, so yeah, there's some cool stuff there. But yeah, speaking of subscription services, Nintendo Switch Online also got some stuff, specifically Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. For the GBA app, they added 3 Starfy games, all unlocalized. So they're all called Densetsu no Starfy, Densetsu no Starfy 2, and Densetsu no Starfy 3. So those are available now. And yeah, those are like, I think, platformer puzzle games. I loaded up the first one on my Analog Pocket for a bit and was like, there's a lot of text here to throw it at people for with no localization. So best look to people. There's a lot of signs and such that have text on them that's like, okay, I have no clue if this is important information or just flavor text. There you go. I believe this was also a HAL Laboratory game.
Yep.
I do remember that the legendary Starfy was on the DS and that was developed by TOS. I just don't remember if this was a remake of any of those This is a GBA, right? Yeah, this is a GBA.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't remember if it was a remake of any of those, and I do remember having a lot of fun with it. So, yeah, these do interest me. When I saw them, I definitely, you know, downloaded them right away, but I haven't popped them in yet. But yeah, considering that they're unlocalized, a little, it's a bit of a turnoff, but, you know, I'm glad they're here, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like the GBA versions were also made by... Okay. But, yeah, they kind of had the vibes of a Kirby, but... It's a bit different played a bit, so
yeah, definitely don't expect a Rise Star though. That was a completely different kind of title.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go for that. That's a neat addition there. But yeah, speaking of Nintendo, we got the update for Nintendo Switch Sports that adds the basketball mode to it. That came out last week on July 9th. Your game is updated, and you can check that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know. So there you go. But yeah, we got some dates here. One here, it's a remaster of a game that maybe did not need it, but Arrow the Acrobat is coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch August 2nd. This is a Sunsoft game, but it's being published by Radaleika Games, publisher. So, yeah, you'll be able to check that out. That was originally a Genesis game, then got ported to Super Nintendo and the Game Boy Advance. Got a port of it as well. And yeah, this was in the wake of, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog. Everybody wanted to have their own animal mascot platformer kind of thing. And this was one that Sunsoft came up with, and it released. It's not really one that people have much fondness for, but it seems like this will at least have save states and some filter options and cheat stuff as well. So you can get infinite energy, infinite lives, invulnerability, all that kind of stuff. So that's cool. At least that's the thing that more of these games should have. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, Arrow came out during a time where everybody thought they needed some sort of mascot platformer. Arrow the Acrobat was decent. You know, it was made by Sunsoft, and they didn't really make terrible games, but they didn't make great games either. So that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like, it's a game that came out. It was all right, but not one that really sticks with most people unless you happen to be the game that you or your parents bought that you had to stick with for, you know, 6 months or a year or whatever. So yeah, there you go. You have a chance to play that right after Tomba releases.
Yeah, so
good luck with that. And see what else. Yeah, Tomba and Star Wars Bounty Hunter and World of Goo is August 2nd. So good luck, Arrow the Acrobat. But yeah, we got another game here coming out in August, August 16th, Castaway, for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. This is a pretty cool looking game. It's basically a Zelda esque kind of game, featuring some, I would say maybe, I don't know, maybe Game Boy Color, like plus kind of graphics, not quite Game Boy Advance, but maybe it could be Game Boy Advance level game. It has some really nice stuff to it, and also apparently has some nice modes offered. Pacifist mode, so you can just play without enemies if you're not good at the combat. To more challenging unfair modes, so kind of have the gamut there, as well as the speedrun mode. So yeah, they got some nice features there that looks like a pretty neat little game. So that's one if you're in a Zelda fix before Echoes of Wisdom comes out. That's one you can check out.
All right.
And yeah, we got one here for September 6th. El Paso Elsewhere is coming to PS5. This was a PC game that came out last year from Strange Scaffold that is, let's say, a love letter to Max Payne. It's a neo-noir sort of third-person horror shooter that got a lot of great buzz about it. But not really too much in the way of award stuff, but seems really cool. And yeah, they're going to be releasing a physical edition as well. They'll have an exclusive poster and a download code for these soundtracks. Yeah, that's a cool game that's has all of that bullet time stuff, the slow motion jumping and diving, that kind of stuff to it. That is pretty cool. So yeah, this is one that people should definitely check out if they're into that kind of game. So there you go. And then we got one more date for October. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants Unleashed will be out October 18th. It's on PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. This is the game coming from Outright Games and developer A Heartful of Games. That'll be out just before Halloween for $39.99, which seems like a pretty good price for that game. This is the one that's based on the recent movie Mutant Mayhem. So that's cool. Has that same kind of look to it. They're probably not as good as the movie, but still looks like could be a pretty solid game. So I'm curious to check that one. So that's it for our dates. We got a couple games here getting announced. Double Dragon is back.
Mm-hmm.
And this time they're going for 3D again. See if that works out for them this time, but I don't believe it's a thing that's really worked out well for these kind of games in the past. The Streets of Rage, or was it that? No, it was Final Fight Streetwise. That was the extremely terrible game.
Yeah.
That didn't work out well, but yeah, they're making a new one, new Double Dragon game. This time it's from Yuke's.
Mm-hmm.
That worked on, you know, the WWE 2K games and the AEW game. Mm-hmm. And also be published by Arc System Works, so that's pretty neat.
Mm.
Yeah, all I right. mean, it's a little wild that they keep trying to make Double Dragon happen. You know, it was great in the late 80s. I definitely had my fun with the bad movie and the NES game, but I haven't really had much fun even with the later one. So
mm-hmm.
The fact that it's being made by Yuke's is even more weird, because as you said, they make wrestling games. So I don't see how an action game makes a lot of sense. But yeah, you know, it could work. I don't think it will, but...
Yeah, that'll be out sometime next year for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One. And so there you go on that front. So that's interesting. We'll see if that turns out well next year.
Mm-hmm.
We got another game that was announced. This is a remaster of one of WayForward's old games for the GBA, Sigma Star Saga, that they're calling, or they're saying is going to be coming to modern consoles and PC in 2025. Mm-hmm. This is going through limited run games with their Carbon engine, so that'll be neat to see. This is a game I had for the GBA, and it was a pretty fun mix of shooter gameplay, like shmup gameplay, mm-hmm. With some action RPG stuff to it. It was pretty stark difference between that and a lot of what else WayForward worked on at that time. Just style wise and all that. So yeah, this is neat that they are bringing it back. And I even started up again on my Analog Pocket just to remind myself what that game was all about, and it still holds up pretty well. So that'd be cool to see.
Oh yeah.
I'm a little bit on the opposite side of the spectrum there. Like, I remember like sort of being disappointed with this game when it came out. Of course, you know, I was a different person back then. Like, the Game Boy Advance to me was a great RPG handheld. This was, you know, what got me Golden Sun and what got me into the original Final Fantasy series, because they made all the nice remakes on Game Boy Advance. And the reason why I was excited about Sigma Star Saga, especially after playing games like the Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku games, was that action stuff. And when it came to the space shooters, it didn't feel like the way I wanted it to. Granted, I wanted it to feel like Gradius, and it didn't do that. And that's, I get it. That's hard to do. But, you know, is this a remake or a port?
I believe it's going to be a remaster.
Okay.
So just a port, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I was wondering, like, what improvements then they can make, and I don't know if that's going to be possible with a remaster, but, you know, I've been proven wrong before, or maybe I just need to try it again. But, yeah, I just remember, like, you know, getting this game full price and, like, not finishing it because I wasn't feeling, or it didn't end up feeling the way I thought it should. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it's aged better in that regard, and, you know, I'm welcome trying it again.
Yeah, so that'll be coming out next year, so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that one. But then, yeah, we got another game that was kind of announced, kind of teased. Nintendo had this weird teaser trailer they put up for this thing that's called Emio, that looks like some sort of horror project. A bit of a weird thing they usually don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just like a 15-second trailer, sort of showing this weird dude with a bag over his head kind of thing. And that looks not usually what you expect out of Nintendo, but... Yeah, we'll have to see what this is. I just put out a tweet that said hashtag who is Emio? And a link to the YouTube.
Definitely an interesting thing. Obviously, this is not something that Nintendo would be known to do, but there's also no guarantee that this is a Nintendo thing either. If I were to bet, I'd say it's probably like a third-party company just having something there, and Nintendo decided to post it then. And because, you know, Nintendo doesn't follow traditional marketing things, especially when it comes to American releases, or just any release in general. So, you know, I have my eyebrow raised there, but, you know, if it ends up being a Nintendo product, yeah, I'll play it just because it's Nintendo. You know, I'm that much of a sheep, but otherwise, yeah, this is, it's interesting to say the least.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, that is interesting. We'll see how that turns out. But we got probably the biggest news of the week that Xbox announced, or not really even announced. They basically put this in their support section.
Mm-hmm.
There's no. I was looking all over their Twitter pages for the Xbox or Game Pass accounts to see if there was like an actual out there on the Xbox Wire, and I couldn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Despite this saying that these changes start July 10th. Mm. But yeah, the gist here is that they are changing some of the prices, increasing them, not decreasing anything here, that will be going into effect for Game Pass Ultimate, Game Pass Core, and PC Game Pass, as well as the news that they will be essentially shutting down Game Pass for console, or at least not allowing people to sign up for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you already have a subscription to that tier, the Game Pass for console tier, and still have automatic payment renewal enabled, it will be able to continue at the current price for that, which I believe is $10.99. So that's a weird thing. But yeah, for, let's see. Yeah, they posted the price changes here with a big chart for all the countries, but for the US, Game Pass Ultimate is increasing from $16.99 to $19.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Game Pass Core, which is bought in 12 months increments, is increasing from $59.99 a month to $74.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a $15 increase, a pretty big increase. And PC Game Pass is increasing. Let me see here, from $9.99 a month to $11.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a $2 increase there. And then I guess in certain countries, they have Game Pass Core options for 1 month, 3 months, or 6 months in Argentina, India, Turkey, and South Africa. So some of those prices have changed as well there. So, yeah, pretty big increases in prices there for what people have been playing. And yeah, starting September 12th, the price of recurring charges will change for existing members. So yeah, that'll be going into effect at September 12th, the earliest. So, and these changes will, let's see. Okay. Yeah. Already mentioned that. So yeah, Xbox Game Pass for console. They are essentially not allowing people for new people to sign up for it. But if you still have your automatic payment renewal on, you'll be able to keep using it at the, I think, $10.99 price per month. And it says here, if at any time you turn off your automatic payment renewal and your membership lapses, you'll no longer have access to Game Pass for console. And we'll need to join one of the other plans. So make sure you're managing that. And also, they are changing how many months you can have stacked up for it. Let's see. Game Pass for consoles codes will continue to be redeemable until further notice. As of September 18th, the maximum extension limit will be 13 months. But if you already have more than that you're going to be fine. But you won't be able to go up to 13 months once you dip below it. So if you're stocking up codes, you're going to have to keep those codes in a safe place. But yeah, they are introducing a new tier called Xbox Game Pass Standard. It will be $14.99 a month. That will, let's see. Yeah, let me see. Have FAQ stuff here. Game Pass Standard gives you, let's see, hundreds of high quality games. Also features all the benefits of Game Pass Core, such as online console multiplayer and select member deals and discounts, including up to 50% off select games. And it says, note, Game Pass Standard will not include games released on day one, so you do not get the day one releases for $14.99. But if you have Game Pass for console, keep that going. You'll still have that stuff. They say, well, let's see. Xbox Game Pass Standard will be available in the coming months, so they'll announce a date at some point. So, yeah, that's like the weird part of it. They They have all these details on these new tiers and changes and all this that are supposedly already in effect, but, you know, don't have a date for when this new tier starts. Yeah, compared to Ultimates, essentially for $5 more, you get day one titles, specific extra entries to the library for Ultimate, EA Play, Xbox Cloud Gaming, as well as select perks, the rewards quest for Microsoft Rewards, and discounts on games in the Game Pass library. So yeah, that's a big change there. So essentially adding in another tier that does not get day one games. Core also does not get day one games. So they're kind of making that a bigger part of their selection. As I believe PC Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate essentially would be the only ones with day one games. So you'll either have to pay $12 if you have a good enough PC for those games to do that, or $20 for Ultimate, which is a lot for something they would like it to be recurring, but that seems like I would have to change that to just when there's interesting stuff. And really interesting stuff. Otherwise, I don't think it's necessarily worth $20 for what's on offer most of the time. And yeah, there's one more big change. It involves Microsoft Rewards, where currently people have been able to kind of grandfather themselves into a feature they have there called Auto Redeem that allowed you to get essentially say, if I have enough points for this thing, redeem it for this specific item. And you could get a discount on Game Pass Ultimate for 10,500 points versus the usual 12,000. And so that was in I think that was part of the Xbox, Microsoft, or yeah, the rewards app on the Xbox itself that they got rid of last year, I think. That managed to stay. So if you do enough of the various things they offer for that, you can get that 10,500 pretty easily. So probably a decent chunk of people that have been able to get Game Pass Ultimate for free, or any of the other tiers, really. They're the ones that are a little bit cheaper for that. And they basically say, I'm going to look at this, or they sent emails about this, that basically starting August, I think 12th or 14th or something, you'll have to, they will essentially remove that 10,500 option. You'll have to pick something else if you want it, or to do that. So basically that is going to essentially be removed by force if you don't change it now, which obviously you don't want to change it now because it's not the end of the month. So I have one more code to get out of that, and then I'll have to see if I can get 12,000 points a month, which is doable if you do all of the things, but they're all very boring and uninteresting to do for this shit. So and they've been doing various things to Microsoft Rewards over the last year or so to kind of make it more annoying to people, either removing opportunities for getting more points or making like search stuff you have to do. They add more timeout stuff to make you not be able to do it as quickly, essentially to annoy them to stopping it and all sorts of stuff like that. There are people that, like, if you redeem too many codes at once for the people that have stocked up lots of points, you can get banned because you're redeeming. This is ridiculous shit for a rewards program. So yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Some big changes.
Yeah. I know absolutely nothing about the rewards program, so that's my first time hearing that. But I have been somebody who's been subscribing to Xbox Game Pass since the beginning, and then eventually once they had Xbox. So yeah, this is bad news for consumers. But the reality of it is, like, this is something that has been expected for a long time now, especially since they had already done it once before, and it hasn't stopped them. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, they never actually made a grand announcement about it. They just changed some fine print, if I remember correctly. And yeah, it sucks as a consumer, but in all honesty, the value that was there, especially if you were a subscriber since day one, has been amazing. That being said, it was easy for Microsoft to do and say that, hey, we have everything day one, but also from that point and until now, even, and until like things get better, their first party games have been lackluster. So it's not really like that big of a thing. And now that we have to pay like, you know, substantially more to have those day one games, and don't get me wrong, day one games are the reason why I have Xbox Game Pass in the first place. But now with this kind of increase and with the amount that they've increased, yeah, I'm definitely considering only subscribing for months that I care about. Granted, I've primarily been stacking codes I see on CD keys, and I don't know how long I'll be able to do that. But yeah, like, it's unfortunate, but also like Microsoft is, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is, because, you know, they just got through a very, in my opinion, a very successful Xbox game showcase during Summer Game Fest. And, you know, if those games are worth half their salt, you know, the prices that we see, in my opinion, are still worth it. But is it worth it?
So, yeah, there you go for the Game Pass news. You got anything to add, Brandon?
Nope, not really.
Yeah, so there you go. Our last one, we're getting on a bummer. It seems like the developer Piranha Bytes, who made the Elex, Gothic, and Risen games, mm-hmm. Kind of Eurojank RPGs, has reportedly been shut down.
Yeah.
They were owned by Embracer, which have been seeking a buyer for them, but seems like nobody bits on that. So, yeah, they were reportedly looking for a new publisher last year. Yeah, the CEO addressed reports of an impending closure by stating the company was in a difficult situation, while expressing optimism about finding a partner by saying, "Don't write us off just yet." This was in January. But yeah, German website GameStar published a story reporting the studio was officially shut down in late June. Despite this report, there still has not been an official announcement of closure from Embracer or Piranha. The studio's website remains inactive, so not much there. But yeah, people still trying to find details to explain what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is interesting and sad news for a studio that made these kind of weird little games that managed to keep them around for a while. But
oh yeah,
yeah, not enough to keep them in great shape.
Yeah, definitely a bummer. I don't know if you guys have played any of the Elex games. They're both actually really good, and no one talks about them. But the reality is, that's the majority of the games that Embracer puts out that actually are good. You know, again, like, they're good. They're not great, and no one talks about them. And as a result, they're not going to sell. And not going to sell, you're not going to exist. And that's the tough reality here. So really sucks to see, and I feel sorry for everybody that's, you know, affected by.
Yeah, so yeah, that's some sad news there. Hopefully they can find some new jobs at places that are not being owned by Embracer.
Yeah.
Which I saw, what was it, Greedfall 2's early access is starting on PC pretty soon, so maybe they can find some work on games like that. I could probably use it, but yeah, they're another casualty of the Embracer fuck up. So
yeah.
So yeah, there you go. And yeah, we'll end on that bummer. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Brandon and Danner for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about. All the games are coming out next week, so we'll probably have plenty of things to talk about. I think Game Pass literally gets like 4 games next week. Flock, Dungeons of Hinterberg, Flintlock, and Kunitsugami are all out next week on Game Pass.
Oh, I had no idea. Kunitsu was on Game Pass. Cool. All right.
Yeah, Darkest Dungeon 2 is also out that week. The Riviera, The Promised Land Remaster is out. The TMNT, Splintered Fates, Bo Path of the Teal Lotus, and the Nintendo World Championships NES Edition. They're fighting for space there as well as the College Football 25. That's 10 games. That's only like the 10 most notable games. It's not even all of them. It's also like how I've seen there's like a bunch of games releasing between August 6th and August 8th, and I saw one the other day. I was like, so annoyed, because I was like, this is a cool game, but why the fuck do you keep announcing these games for August 6th, August 7th, or August 8th? realizes all the other indies are releasing that day too, those days too. So yeah, we're at a point where games are coming out. And yeah, that's exciting. So, if you enjoy the show, if you let friends and family know, they should check it out and select strangers that are also excited about a bunch of games coming out here in the next week. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.